This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Health and wellness on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Dr. Evangeline Mantioris.
Good afternoon, Warren. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I've been looking forward to this chat, and I know a lot of the Joy Drive family are as well, because already the opportunity to eat more food is starting to present itself, and I know it's only going to ramp up as we get through the festive season. So today we're going to talk about how we can, I suppose, limit putting on those extra kilos that we always end up regretting afterwards.
That's right. The silly season didn't start so early, did it? So it sort of becomes worse and worse with everyone trying to fit in all the functions.
That's exactly right. And I find that then you have to have that New Year's resolution where you say, okay, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to lose that extra kilo that I didn't want to put on over Christmas.
That's right. And it's actually interesting. There's a group here at University of South Australia that have done research to see how much weight do people put on over the Christmas New Year period. Oh. Yeah, and it's an average of about 546 grams.
Oh, now, is that a lot?
That's half a kilo.
Okay. So I reckon I could easily put on a kilo over Christmas without trying too
many
much.
Many people would. Because that's the average. So there's some people that would put on a lot more and others that would put on less. So we talk about averages, half a kilo, if you do that every year, doesn't end up looking too good, does it?
No, definitely not. Now, Evangeline, let's start off with the drinking, because there's a lot of functions that are going on. There's work functions, there's social functions, there's barbecues on the weekend, and of course there's lots of alcohol consumption. Something I've always wanted to know, how much weight does drinking alcohol actually put on? Is it significant?
It can be, depending on how much people drink. So it's a bit of a difficult question to answer because it depends on what else people eat at the time. So there's two problems with alcohol. First of all, it's the weight, it's the kilojoules from the actual alcohol. And 1 gram of alcohol gives you 29 kilojoules. So a standard glass, just the alcohol in it, will give you about 300 kilojoules. If it's beer, there's a little bit extra there because of the carbs. If it's a liqueur, there's a bit extra. So all those sorts of things. But the other thing that alcohol does is it reduces your ability to sort of tell yourself to stop and not eat as much.
So it hits you twice.
It hits you twice, absolutely. I like that.
It does. So because we're drinking it, we're putting on the weight from drinking the alcohol, and from what you're saying is we're also thinking, oh, I'll go and I'll have that extra thing that's coming around on that plate. Where's the person who's handing out this? I'll go and stand near them so I can grab that when it goes past. That's right.
So that's one of the things, perhaps not stand next to those people and keep yourself as far away as possible from them as well. So look, alcohol, 10 years ago, I would remember talking about no alcohol, lower alcohol to students at uni, and they'd laugh at me. And now a lot of people are drinking these no and low alcohol drinks. Mm. So if you haven't tried them, it might be the season to start and say, okay, well, I know there's going to be a lot of drinking. I've got to cut down my alcohol, not just for weight, but for general health as well, and try some of these low or no alcohol alternatives on the market.
Are they loaded with sugar?
You'll have to read the individual labels. It will vary from each product to each product. So, yeah.
Here's a tricky question for you, Evangeline, and you're welcome to answer it next time. Is there more, I suppose, kilojoules? Is alcohol efficiently turned into fat, or is it a very inefficient process?
It's probably efficiently turned into fat. Because your body tries to process it as quickly as possible. This is my educated guess. Because the body sees it as a poison, it tries to get rid of it as quickly as it can. So if you're not exercising a lot, yes, it will contribute to weight gain. Is it more efficient than other stuff? It's all efficient. What you don't use any excess kilojoules that you don't use in physical activity get converted to fat.
Okay. Got it. Let's move on to gifts. Let's say we receive gifts. Now, I received a block of rum and raisin chocolate this week, and this person gave me the rum and raisin because I always say to people, I eat that one because no one else eats it, and then I get to eat the whole block because it seems to be the one that everyone hates the most. And, of course, I ate the whole block.
I thought it was Turkish delight.
Oh, no, I'll eat that too. It all goes down the hatch. So let's say we're receiving gifts and the gifts are something that is highly, you know, high in calories and what have you. What should we do with that gift? This is a tricky question because should we re-gift it to someone? Should we?
The old re-gifting, and then that block of chocolate goes all around Melbourne, doesn't it? And you get it back again. Or you could perhaps take it to a function that you're going to.
Let everyone else eat it.
Let everybody else hear it. Share it at work. Share it with your colleagues, I think, is the answer here, don't you?
Yeah, I reckon too. All right, let's say we're going to a function. It could be a work function, a private function. What can we do to ensure that we minimise the weight gain once we get to that function? Because there's going to be lots and lots of sweets, lots and lots of pastries. We know the sausage rolls are going to come out.
Yeah, look, there's a few, everyone probably has their own tactics, and I think it's good to think about what should you do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know you're going somewhere, one of the things is to reduce your intake beforehand. And I don't mean drastically, still eat your meals because you don't want to get there and be super hungry and, you know, chase the host down and get all the food from them. But, you know, don't snack on those days. Have what you'd call a really lean, prudent meals, you know, so keep it to the bare minimum. Don't add the snacks, the chocolates, the pastries on those days, and keep it for those events. But even then, once you get there, that tendency to, you know, keep going back to it is great. So one of the things, stay away from the table, maybe park yourself away from the table, away from the food and chat to someone. You know, if you've got kids, maybe hold all their toys because then you don't have free hands.
That's a good idea.
That's right. You don't have free hands to do anything. But also just be wise about what you're selecting. You know, so go for fruits, vegetables, pick the dips that aren't cream-based or mayonnaise-based or cheese-based, you know, like hummus, tomato-based dips, sauces. Use the vegetable sticks. Don't go for the bread or the, you know, the crackers. And some of these crackers have a lot of things added on top of them, like cheese and, you know, all sorts. And start by drinking water. So we know that appetite is regulated a little bit by how distended your stomach becomes during eating. So start with a glass of water. Don't go to the table straight away with a food, wait, and then, you know, go later. And pick those foods which are healthy. And I think everyone knows what is healthy.
Fill up with water first, and that will actually make us less hungry and less likely to eat something.
Yeah. Yeah, have a good big glass of water. Absolutely. Yeah, distend that tummy. And then the other thing I don't do is I don't eat the food I don't like. And I know that sounds a bit obvious, but sometimes you end up going, why did I eat all those chips? I don't actually like chips.
Mm.
So be really mindful about, this is just chips and I can get to eat chips any day. There's nothing special about chips at Christmas time, but you know, there might be cherries. Or the stone fruit, which only comes at this time of the year. So be more selective about what you choose and, you know, pick the stuff that you really like. It's not about not eating that stuff and not enjoying yourself,
We're chatting with Dr. Evangeline Mantzioros, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia, about how to reduce the weight gain during the festive season. Evangeline, but what happens, you know, at this time of year, there's lots of desserts out there. Now, I know one thing that I try and do is stick to the berry-based desserts because I don't know if there's any science behind it, but I just feel like they have less calories. Is that true?
Yeah, look, fruit's always going to be good, but I guess it depends what it's paired up with. So if it's sitting on top pavlova with cream, you've still got the sugar and the kilojoules from that pavlova. So what you might do is, you know, ask for the smaller size, cut it in half. Maybe if you're asked to bring a platter of food to the function as well, take things that you know will be healthy, so like a fruit platter or a vegetable platter with, you know, some sort of salsa. So it's, you know, you probably know where you go and what's going to be on offer and which ones are the best ones to choose.
Evangeline, I have a solution that I often do. I watch people eat the food and where their fingers go. and you watch everyone touch it all, and then it just turns you off. It works every time. And I just think, I'm not touching it. I'm not going to have anything. Just sit back and watch for 2 minutes.
Yeah, and you see people licking their fingers, to get the food off, and then they go and touch something. That's right. I reckon that could be a good tactic. You probably wouldn't need anything.
That's right. Let's say we have had a big day. We did go out. Mm. We did succumb. We ate the sausage rolls and the party pies and all the cheese, and we had the creamy dips, and then we had the pavlova afterwards. We're as full as a gook. We feel terrible. We wake up the next day. What can we do to try and sort of alleviate that weight gain?
Yeah. So like I said before, in prepping for it, reduce all those snacks, reduce those sometimes foods, just stick to your veggies, fruit, fish, chicken, whatever. The other thing is go for a walk, do some sort of exercise, hit the gym, go for a run, go for a walk. It is difficult, though, to burn off all the kilojoules after a large intake.
Is it?
So it's a lot easier to control your weight by not eating as much compared to doing the exercise afterwards. A half hour to an hour's walk might use up anywhere, depending on people's size and how metabolically fit they are, anywhere from 500 to 800, 900 kilojoules. And that would be like a quarter a piece of pavlova.
Don't eat the pavlova. That's the key.
Yeah. I guess that's a difficult thing to picture. But for example, a donut, one of the little donuts from Krispy Kreme is about 900 kilojoules. And if you go, that's actually going to take me close to an hour to walk it off, on average, is that donut worthy to be eaten?
What about the six of them that we ate? There's 6 hours of walking.
That's right.
I love the way you're giving us perspective on how much exercise we need to do to get rid of these things. I find I tend to eat a lot of – I'm not a big chip eater, but I do eat them when I'm run down or I'm lacking energy or something like that. Is that something that people do experience when they're feeling tired?
Yeah, look, if you haven't slept properly, if you're tired, you tend to resort to things that are easy, and once you start, they are addictive. So they contain the salt in there and, you want to eat more of them. So the best thing is just not to have them. So when people say, how do I stop eating chips or donuts or biscuits or whatever it is, the simple answer is don't have it in the house.
That's a good idea. And remember, one donut is 1 hour of walking.
That's a lot. And that's just the Krispy Kreme ones, not those bigger ones that that are chocolate tops.
2 hours of walking. Oh, my goodness, you'll have to walk for the next month. Let's say we're hosting the dinner or the party, the barbecue, whatever. Yeah. I mean, we're going to obviously put out the yummy stuff because some people don't care and they want to enjoy it. Yeah. But what should we think about people who do want to watch their weight and perhaps put something healthy out as well?
Yeah, so it was interesting when you said there, Warren, you want to put out the yummy stuff because to me the yummy stuff is the berries and the cherries that you get at Christmas time.
Ooh.
So everyone is different, isn't it?
They are.
So I guess it's about, having a range of things there, making sure you have water as an alternative to drinking alcohol. The other thing is to cut things into smaller pieces. So if they're smaller, people are less likely to keep going back to get more and more of it. And also don't over cater because then people feel they need to finish what you've put out. And there are lots of good websites on the internet which tell you about how much food you specifically need for each person. So how many dips should you have? How much salad should you have? How much bread you should have? And perhaps look at those and go, okay, I won't over cater, saves money, saves the environment by reducing food waste as well. And then cut those smaller pieces. And, if you're asking people to bring a plate of food, perhaps guide them as to what you might want. So instead of getting, three platters of sausage rolls, you can go, look, Mary's bringing the sausage rolls. Would you like to bring vegetable sticks with a salsa dip? Or would you like to bring, a rice salad with lots of veggies in them? Something like that.
And if Mary brings the sausage rolls that's full of the, this is almost like a breadcrumb filling. It's not a meat filling. It's not even like a sausage roll. And I just feel like that just soaks up the oil. It just soaks it in. And I'm sure that they'd be much worse than the traditional sausage roll with lean meat.
And the pastry has got a lot of fat in it, so that's a problem. But the thing that soaks up a lot of fat, and this is going to disappoint a lot of your listeners, is the schnitty. Do they call them schnitties in Melbourne?
No, what's that?
A schnitzel.
Oh, schnitzel. Oh, really?
Yeah. So all those bread, the breadcrumb on that schnitzel, there's a lot of breadcrumb on there that would be equivalent, you know, to two or three slices of bread, soaks up the oil that it's deep fried in. So if you're eating out, you know, at pubs, think about what you order. Instead of getting the schnitzel, maybe go for a piece of, you know, a steak.
Piece of lettuce.
A piece of fish. Yeah, a piece of lettuce. Oh, we want to enjoy it a bit more than that. Maybe, you know, I see they do a lot of bowls now, you know, the Buddha bowls.
Mm.
Could be salads, it could be fish, it could be a chicken dish. But, you know, just think and go, how have they prepped this? And the schnitzel is a bad one.
Fat soaker upper. Before we let you go, I want to talk about a particular formula. You know, when you go out and you're with a group of friends, let's say there's four of you out and you all grab the menu and everyone orders one main. We're all sharing. We're all going to share the dishes.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, let's get an extra one. So there's four people. We order five mains, for example. That's what I tend to do with my friends. Have I got the formula wrong if I want to maintain my weight over the festive season?
Probably.
Okay.
I tend, depending on who I'm going out with, this is where you need to know your friends and how much they eat.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to order one less plate because initially there always used to be leftovers. So we would order one less plate or order three mains and a side serve of vegetables or salad.
It's the number of people minus one.
One, yeah. The restaurants aren't going to be happy with us, are they?
It doesn't matter. We'll be happy with ourselves. And that's all that matters, Evangeline.
Right. That's right.
We've got the tips. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll chat to you next time.
My pleasure. Take care. Bye.
Thank you. It's Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia. There you go. One Krispy Kreme donut needs approximately 1 hour of walking the next day to get rid of it. I don't think I'll have them.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.